And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And we are glad that you are here on this special Sunday for our church. And we'll be sharing a little bit later about Sunday School Report. And thank you for being here and being a part of this day for us. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we are delighted that you're here. We'd ask you to fill out a visitor's card that we might have a record of your visit with us today. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have gathered in this place in your name, listening with our spirit to hear what you may say, knowing, God, that today could be a change day, a different day, a day that could mark a place in our life where things from this moment forward through your spirit could be so much different. And Lord, you know every need of every person who's gathered in this place. And you know every sin that we are even now dealing with and imprisoned to. And you know, oh God, how to set us free. For when the Spirit makes us free, we're free indeed. And God, we have gathered here praying that as we worship you and as we exalt your name and proclaim that you are our God of the universe, the God of all in all, that in that worship, Lord, we'll be caught up into your presence. And in your presence, Lord, that's where you change us. And so now, Lord, we pray, come quickly. Come to us personally. Touch us with your strength and with your mercy and with your grace, that we might live in your justice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's all take a hymnal and turn over to page 502. Open my eyes that I may see. Let's stand as we sing. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for getting us all in here on this beautiful day. Please go with us today as we leave until we come back in the house of your name. Please help us all to be better disciples and using the faith, hope, and love that you give us to bring everyone closer to you. And please, we thank you for all these blessings that you give to us, and please use these offerings to better serve you. In your blessed name we pray, amen.
Sermon doesn't matter what age. I see lots of people coming. Great job. Have a seat. Hey, guys. Oh, my goodness. They just keep coming. Come on. Have a seat. All right. Thank you so much for coming. I hope we made high attendance Sunday. It looks like it, doesn't it? Good job. Thank you so much. Well, I got something to ask you today. Have you ever heard anybody say, "It's not fair"? How many of you have ever heard that before? All right. Well, where do you hear things like, "It's not fair"? What are you doing when you hear that? What are you doing? What's happening when you hear, "It's not fair"? Okay. What are you doing? Not being very nice. Okay. Is it during a game time, Emily? What's happening? When you're playing games, you hear that a lot, don't you? That's right. Or when somebody did something that you didn't like, or they didn't follow the rules, or maybe you get in trouble and they don't, like a brother or sister. Does that happen to you? And you say what? It's not fair. It's not fair. How does it make you feel when you say it, or when somebody else says it's not fair? How does that make you feel? Good? No. Makes us feel kind of bad. Do you ever get angry? You know what frustrated means? You ever get frustrated with that? I do. Do you think God wants us to be unfair? Do the wrong thing? Not play the game right? I don't think so either. Does he want us to treat everyone fairly? Everybody? I think so too. And don't accuse others if you don't know for sure. Sometimes we say somebody didn't play fair, and we really don't know for sure, do we? No. Well, let's think the opposite now. Let's think the opposite. Have you ever heard the word righteous? Some of you have. That's the person who tries to do the right thing. They want to be fair all the time. And God wants us to be righteous, doesn't he? Righteous has the word right in it. It's the root word. I have something I want to share with you this morning. I have two jars. The jars are almost alike, but they look different. They're different inside. What does this jar have in it?
Water.
Clear water. What does this jar have in it?
Muddy water.
Muddy water. Muddy water. Which one do you think you would like to drink? The clear water. The clear water. I don't think I want to drink this one, do you? No. If you drank this one, you might get sick, hadn't you?
Yeah.
You might feel bad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Dogs sometimes drink dirty water, but we don't, do we? No, we don't. Which one of these jars makes you think about fair? The clear one. Which one makes you think about being unfair? The dirty one. That's right. The dirty one. Well, let me tell you something. There's a verse in the Bible about this. So let's read it first. It is Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26. It's what we've been talking about. Listen up. Guys, listen. Like a muddied spring or a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way to the wicked. Gives way to the wicked means that he turned away. He didn't do what was right. He made a mistake, didn't he? He acted unfairly. That muddies God's water, doesn't it? Muddies God's waters. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to be fair and honest all the time. I used to hear the expression, don't muddy the water. That's an old expression you probably never heard. That means don't mess up stuff. Don't be unfair. Don't make a problem. But you know what? This is the important part. This water doesn't always have to be muddy. It doesn't have to stay this way. Just like our lives don't have to stay muddied. If I let this jar sit overnight, in fact, this morning when I got up, all this water up here was clear. And the mud had gone to the bottom. And it looked almost like this one, except at the bottom. You can filter this water, and you can get it as clean as this one. And that's the same way with us. If we're muddy, we can clean up, can't we? If you ask God to help you, you can be clean again. Okay? We can change, can't we? All right? So let's keep our lives clean, and let's don't muddy God's waters. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, sometimes we struggle with our lives. We struggle being fair. We don't want to muddy your waters. Help us be strong that we may change and keep your name holy. In thy name we pray. Amen. I hope you come back next Sunday. I hope we're crowded just like we were today.
Classroom goals that came to 190. We made the executive decision to bump that to 200 as a church goal. And we came in just between that. So we ended with 196 for a total. So I think that's still a pretty good. So thank you to all the classes. I wanted to bring out a couple sort of individual classes that did well. Gift class, they had a goal of 25 and 25 on the roll, and ended with 25 exactly on the nose. The office, the general office, we have 7 on the roll. We hit 7. And this is a small number, but I'm proud of you guys. Home builders had a goal of 4 and hit 4. So, you know, that class is starting, trying to get off the ground. If you don't have a class, talk to Randy. I'd go to a class taught by Randy Gang. So, like I said, if you don't have a class, find it. He'll get you one. And Facing Life had the most visitors also, with 5 visitors. So without further ado, our high attendance banner, so for the class with the most, is Facing Life with a total of 27 people. So someone, a rep from Facing Life, can come down and play.
Since we didn't make 200 in Sunday school, let's try it again next Sunday. What do you think? We'd love to have everybody come back. That is a wonderful testimony. Thank you for the extra work you did. Sunday school is like so many things in church. It is what we make it, and I appreciate your efforts to get us to 196 in Sunday school today. That's a tremendous number. This morning, as we gather to pray, there are many that we want to be remembering in our prayers. Mr. Robert Huffman is scheduled right now. We don't know the time, but this Tuesday to have double knee replacement. We want to be remembering him in our prayers. Jerry Nance is at Rex Hospital, and we want to be remembering him in a very special way. It's good to have Terry in worship with us. We want to remember the Jay Miller family in our prayers. Continue to remember them. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have gathered here with you. And that's enough. Let us see you. Let us hear you. Let us reach out with spiritual arms and embrace you. Whisper in our ears your love and grace and forgiveness, and remind us that you do filter dirty water, muddy water. And when you make us clean, we are clean indeed. Wash us, and we shall be whiter than snow. Purge us from sin and disobedience. Purge us from busyness and focusing on the wrong thing. Purge us from being in such a hurry that we fail to hear your voice or see you at work all around us. Let us be still in your presence. And for these next few moments, let us know you are God. Oh Lord, is this floor filled up with brand new lives down here just a few moments ago, and Martha taught them? Remind us of what's really important in life. Lord, there are needs that we lift to you, people that we care about and you care about, and we ask, oh God, that you might bless them in their need. This list is long, but it is so vitally important to you. And so, God, we lift them to you. And we not only promise to pray, but we also commit ourselves to minister as you give us opportunity. And now, Lord, as our choir shall sing, may their message touch our spirit. And then as we open your word, may your word open our hearts and our minds. And may we indeed experience you. In Christ's name we pray.
We love.
that last note will send chills all over you, won't it? Thank you, choir. We do love God's church. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59. If you are an astute student of the Bible, you might know this is Deutero-Isaiah or 2nd Isaiah. Many scholars believe that after 44 chapters, a different text or a different understanding in the history of Israel. I think this may be after the return of Israel from Babylon, which the first 44 chapters of Isaiah remind them of, warn them of, and then see them there. It's interesting because now that they've returned, in chapter 44, they're told that the city of Jerusalem and the temple will be restored, but it hasn't been restored by chapter 59. In chapters 49 and 54, they are told that the city will be filled and overflowing with happy people. But as of chapter 59, not yet. In chapter 45, they're told that the wealth of the nations shall be brought to them to encourage them, and it hasn't happened yet. And in chapter 49, they're told that kings will come and render homage at their feet, and they're still waiting. And if you read chapter 59, you'll realize they're not joyfully waiting. They're angry. They're disappointed. They're frustrated. They're irritated. They're aggravated. They're blaming. They're blaming. And the prophet brings God's word and God's challenge, not only for them, but also for us. We're going to begin to read in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 20. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, and we behold darkness, and for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as though it were twilight. Among those in full vigor, we are like dead men. We all growl like bears. We moan and moan like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. Now he gives a reason. Verse 12. For our transgressions are multiplied before us, and our sins, they testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities, transgressing and denying the Lord and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the public squares, and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no man and wondered what that there was not one to intercede. Then his own arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, so will he repay. Wrath to his adversaries, repayment to his enemies. To the coastlands he will render repayment. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. And a Redeemer will come to Zion. Powerful words for we who are of the Christian faith. And a Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we live in a time when righteousness has left the public square and truth is no longer our standard. In such a world, we are the church. Help us to stand in your grace and in your mercy, but also, God, in your justice and in your righteousness and in your holiness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Woman liked to walk through a city park, and there was a photographer taking pictures and had it set up digitally so he could print out the pictures right there. And so she stopped and she had her picture made, and he printed out the picture and she took it and began to walk away. When she looked at the picture, and then she stopped and she came back and she stated, "This is not right. This is not right. You have not done me justice." The photographer looked at the picture and then looked at her and stated, "Miss, you don't need justice. You need mercy. It's what you need." Justice. I've looked at this tie several times since I got here. You won't ever see this combination again. I don't like this. Sometimes when you get ready, you might see things one way, and the more you look at them, the more you realize it's not right. Today, I just wonder if there's some things in our life that just aren't right. They're just not right. And I want to tell you the subtle lie that Satan tells us. Well, maybe we tell ourselves. Just don't worry about it. Just don't do anything. It's okay. Just stay like you are. Oh, listen to the sermon or the Sunday school lesson or the Bible verse and say amen. But don't do anything. Israel was blaming God for the injustice they had endured. And yet, in the first 44 chapters of the book of Isaiah, they were warned when Uzziah died. And Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. And that statement was, "Who shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." But if you keep reading the rest of that chapter, he says, "They're not going to like what you have to say. They're not going to like. And not only are they not going to like it, they're not going to listen." Are we ready to listen? It's easy to blame God, isn't it? It's easy to say, "Wonder what happened. Why did God let this world get in such a mess? Why did God let my life get in such a mess?" I love what Philip Yancey says in his book, Reaching for the Invisible God. He says, "When Princess Diana died in an automobile accident, a minister was interviewed and was asked the question, 'How can God allow such a terrible tragedy?' And I love his response," Yancey says. He said, "Could it have had something to do with a drunk driver going 90 miles an hour in a narrow tunnel?" Now, just exactly how was God involved in that? Years ago, Ray Boom Boom Mancini If you're a boxing fan, you'll know that name. In one fight, a tragedy occurred when two warriors, neither one willing to give in, went the distance, and a Korean opponent was killed by a strong right hand from Boom Boom to the head. At the press conference after the Korean's death, Mancini said, "Sometimes I wonder why God does the things he does." In a letter to Mr. Dobson, Dr. Dobson, a young woman asked this anguished question. 4 years ago, I was dating a man and became pregnant. I was devastated. I asked God, why have you allowed this to happen to me? Susan Smith. Some of us here will remember that name. She's the South Carolina mother that a few years ago put her sons in a car and let it slide down the ramp into a river and blamed it on a fictitious carjacker. In her confession, she wrote these words, "I dropped the lowest point when I allowed my children to go down that ramp into the water without me. I took off running and screaming, 'Oh God, oh God, no, what have I done? Why did you let this happen?'" Yancey goes on to say, "Now the question remains, exactly what role did God play in a boxer beating his opponent to death, a teenage couple giving in to temptation in the backseat of a car, or a mother drowning her children? Is God responsible for these acts? To the contrary. These are examples of incredible human free will that are being exercised on a fallen planet. And yet it is our own nature as mortal, frail, fallen people to lash out at one who is not, that being God. Justice, righteousness, purity, uprightness, integrity, honesty, fairness, and decency all say the same thing when it comes to a disciple's life. This is God's plan. It often seems as though these attributes are lost in a world that is full of injustice, impurity, dishonesty, unfairness, and indecency. But we must remember this: God will never be defeated. Bless his holy name." I wonder today, I wonder if you and I, for just a moment, would really be honest with God. Honest with God. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew what needed to be said, but you just said nothing? You say, "I wasn't being dishonest." My wife was looking for the checkbook for a long time, and I was sure she had had it last. When I found it in my pants pocket, I was tempted to say nothing. Would that be honest? I didn't lie if I said nothing. Maybe just put it on the table and say, "Here it is, I found it." You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And today, we've come into the worship center, haven't we? And here we are, before the God who created us and who desires to do in us more than we can probably even imagine. But for justice and righteousness and purity and uprightness and integrity and honesty and fairness and decency to rule the day, we've got to deal with those other attributes. We've got to confess. Oh my goodness, there I've said it. That word. Confess. Confess. We have to admit. We have to say we're wrong. Israel had wandered far away from God. It was her sin. It was her transgressions that had taken her out of her promised land and placed her in Babylonian captivity. And now that God was restoring her, still she didn't want to deal with her sin. Have we wandered away from God? Right now it's easy to say nothing. Just be quiet. He'll get off this in just a second. He'll go on to the next point. We don't have to do anything right now. We don't have to look at our life and our sin. We don't have to examine who we are in light of God's holiness. But to walk out today with an unconfessed sin is almost a promise that we will continue in that sin. That we will continue. Patrick Henry, that famous statesman and orator of colonial Virginia, in his last will and testament that is filed at the Brookneal County Courthouse in Virginia, wrote these words: I have now given everything I own to my children in his will. There is one more thing I wish I could give them, and that is Christ. He went on to say these words: because if they have everything I gave them and they don't have Christ, they have nothing. They have nothing. Today, moms and dads, the greatest lesson we could give our children is to make sure we confess. You know, the greatest challenge for us today is to give our children the wrong thing. To give them the wrong thing. To give them what they tell us they want. What the world tells us they want. And yet, if they don't have Christ, they don't have anything. We don't stop and realize that, we will not change. No one likes criticism. I finally figured out the difference between constructive criticism and destructive criticism. You know what it is? Constructive criticism is when I criticize you. Destructive criticism is when you criticize me. See, I got it figured out. I don't like to hear, Gary, I need to tell you something. We need to have a talk. You're on the wrong path. That's not the right way to go. I don't like to hear that. Do you like to hear that? I don't like to hear that. And you know, when God speaks with that still small voice and calls us to confession by pointing out those areas, it's easy. What's God trying to say to us right now? In Genesis chapter 3, we find after their sin had come before them, Adam and Eve recognized that they were naked. Never had known that before. Isn't that interesting? They had seen each other through the eyes with no stain of sin. But now that the stain of sin had come, it says they made garments of fig leaves to hide behind. From God. You see, today, you and I, we may know there's something in our life that's keeping us from being all that we need to be. We so desire to spend more time with God, but we don't do it. We so desire to spend more time in God's Word and allowing His Word to bathe our mind and bathe our spirit and bathe our attitude and bathe every part of us, but we just don't do it. And right now, we're looking in the pew rack in front of us and saying, is there a fig leaf in there? Because I just want to pull one out, and I just want to put it up right now. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this. I came to worship. I attended Sunday. My goodness, Gary. Let's get off this confession. I wonder today when we walk out, will we have tried to hide in God's presence from God Himself? Secondly, this morning when we recognize confession, and I toyed with whether I should put condition first or confession first, because our condition, it simultaneously connects when we confess. We realize, but look at those words in verses 12 through 15. Negative words: transgression, sins, iniquities, denying, turning back, oppression, revolt, lying. These are the words that describe the the unrepentant heart. One of the old great standards in the Christian faith, the great preacher Charles Spurgeon, offered this warning: if you haven't looked at Christ on the cross, you'll have to look at him on the throne with great trembling. The sacrificial death of Christ will be brought before our eyes to all of those, even those who refuse to accept his free, full gift of forgiveness and eternal life. In Bethlehem, he came in mercy to forgive us. In the future, he will come on clouds of glory to establish justice. What will we do without a Savior on the day of judgment? There's nothing we can do if we haven't trusted in Christ. Strong words, but true. Our condition is now. Today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deciding that, yes, I will confess that I haven't been all that God would have me to be, and God wants more with me and for me. And I realize it is my condition. I love what A.W. Tozer said about revival. I am excited about revival. I'm praying for revival for Flat Springs Baptist Church, for Gary McCullough. How about you? Revival, Tozer says, comes only to those who want them badly enough. I want to read that again. Revival comes only to those who want them bad enough. He goes on to say, the problem is not to persuade God to fill us, but to want God sufficiently to permit him to do so. God wants to fill us. The average Christian is so cold and so contented with his wretched condition that there is no vacuum of desire into which the blessed Spirit can rush in satisfying fullness. What's our condition today? I remember the old song from when I was a young teenager, and I only know one line, and it says, I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. Today, what condition is our condition? How do we stand before a holy God? Will we walk out of this place and allow God's Spirit to walk with us in such a way that all next week will be different? Or will we walk out the same? When we confess our condition before God, God desires to change us. I've got good news today. It's verse 20. A Redeemer will come to Zion, and I know his name. It's Jesus the Christ. A Redeemer will come, a conqueror. In verses 15 through 20, it says, the Lord is displeased by sinful conditions, and his grace and his mercy will come in the form of a Redeemer. He's ready for battle. You may have, as we read those verses, remember that passage in Ephesians chapter 6 when Paul reminds the church at Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God and to put on the helmet and to put on the breastplate. And here we see God himself saying he'll put it on for us. He'll fight the battle. He's ready for eternal justice. I think that Spurgeon is right. There will be a day when Christ will return, not with grace and mercy. We live in that moment right now. Today is the day of salvation. But he will come again. And he will establish justice on this earth. Justice. I wonder today, do we need to change? Christ can make all things new. I read a story this week, and it still bothers me. And maybe you've read it or you've heard about it. It ended up being a Supreme Court. In 1830, there was a man by the name of George Wilson. He was convicted. He was a male employee, and he decided one day, for whatever reason, that he was going to rob the mail train. And so he did. And during the robbery, he killed a man. And he was sentenced to be hanged for his crime. Andrew Jackson was then the president of the United States. And because there was a great debate in the land over capital punishment, Andrew Jackson offered a pardon. But George Wilson refused it. He refused it. He was sentenced to be hanged for a crime he had done, and the President of the United States offered a pardon that was binding, that was legal, that would immediately usurp all of the justice system. And when the President said you are free, you are free. And the President said you are free. And George Wilson declined. He said, no, I don't want the pardon. And great debate broke out in the United States of America over whether you could refuse a pardon. Some argued that if the President gives you a pardon, you're pardoned whether you like it or not. And others said, no, no, it's not that way. A pardon is an offer that you can receive, but you must receive it. You must receive it in order for it to be in effect. And it went to the Supreme Court of the United States, and Chief Justice Marshall, perhaps one of the great justices that we've had, concluded these words that became the most famous words. A pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, there is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And he was. And he was. A conqueror's come. A pardon has been offered to whosoever will. Forgiveness is in the land today. God's grace and God's mercy is powerful. But brothers and sisters, you and I, we must receive it. We must accept it. This Bible is a great book of God's truths, but it's just words written on a paper if we don't accept it and apply it to our life. We sing the great hymns of the faith, and they're just tunes and words written on sheets of paper in a hymn book. But when we sing them to the glory of God, and when they call for us to confess, we confess. When they show us our condition, we see it. And when they call us to come to the conqueror, as Isaiah did, the children of Israel, even in the injustice of the day, and we come. And we come then. Oh, maybe today you're here and you're facing some tremendous injustice. And do I need to tell us that we live in an unjust and unjust world? But praise be to God that although the battle rages, the victory has been won. The Redeemer that was to come in Isaiah comes in our New Testament. And Jesus Christ is Lord of whosoever will. And today could be the day of change. I wonder, am I the only one here today who needs to confess? Am I the only one here today who needs to see my condition? Am I the only one here today who needs to speak to the conqueror? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of decision, we must decide. And right now the challenge is to leave as we've come, to walk out as we walked in. We've heard some stories. We've sang some songs. We've bowed our heads and said, thank you, Lord. But Lord, you desire more. You desire revival. You desire your Spirit to fall fresh on us, and our sin will get in that way. Today, hear us when we confess. Hear us right now when we say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God, we realize we can't hide behind fig leaves. We can't hide behind the way it's always been. We can't hide behind the way the world is. We can't hide behind the way that maybe we're doing better than someone else. Today, God, we must examine ourselves as you examine us. And we must realize you are a just God and a holy God. And your mercy is not your weakness. And justice delayed is not justice denied. And God, you know our need. You offer us a pardon today. I don't know why George Wilson refused that pardon that would have saved his earthly life, but God, don't allow me to neglect my salvation. If there's one here, Lord, who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins and has received that eternal pardon that will record their name in heaven's register, then today is the day of salvation is here. And if there's one of us, oh God, who truly desires revival, help us never to wait for some set of circumstances to occur, but to open our hearts and confess our condition and claim you as our conqueror right now. As you forgive our sin and remove it as far as the east is from the west, and you strengthen us to be better sons and daughters, better husbands and wives, better mothers and fathers, better grandparents, better co-workers, better school friends, better people by what you do in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Near to God, our hymn is page 295 this morning. If that is our desire, if that is your desire, then it's time to confess. It's time to confess. It's time to recognize and realize that if we walk out as we walked in, but if we're faithful and just to God, He will be faithful and just to us. Amen. He will be faithful and just to us. How shall we live as we stand together? It's good to see Linda Wilson. I didn't see you until I started preaching, Linda. It's good to have you in worship with us. Linda Hunt. Did I say Linda Wilson? Thank you. Linda Hunt. We are delighted you're back with us today after a long, long experience. So we are delighted. Our associational meeting is this afternoon. We have messenger cards. I've already given out one, and I'm planning to go. If anyone else would like to attend the way we've done that, if you're a member in good standing, I'll let you know if you come ask me for one. That was a joke, not really. But if you'd like one, we'd give you a card, and you can go as a representative. It is at Cool Spring Baptist Church this evening. There's one announcement we want to make about our upcoming prayer walk, a ministry that we've been praying and talking about and thinking about. We've talked with the diaconate about it. And Luann, there you are. You'll share a word with us.
I'll try to be quick since you're all standing. Prayer walking. Many people don't know what that means or what it means to you, but I want to give you something my granddaddy told me one time. If God is not moving in your life, then you're not talking to him enough. I don't know that there's better advice that could be had, but that's something he shared with me when I was a young girl. Scripture to support this, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. What a prayer walk is, simply, we're going to meet here at Deep River School. You're going to park in the parking lot. We're going to start our prayer walk praying for those students and the teachers and the administration of that school, because that school is local to us. We're going to make our way across. I'm going to ask that each group that has a leadership representative, for example, the youth group, Awanas, the diaconate, everybody that we would want to pray for here at Flat Springs Baptist Church will make some type of a representative sign indicating your prayer needs. So please be talking to that group that you serve and ask them, what do you want prayer for? We will walk the grounds and do prayer to the Lord, asking for his assistance for things like potential revival. It's going to be important to the future, and I can't wait to see what the Lord does as a result.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're excited by that. And that is May 21st.
21st, Saturday. It's 1 to 4. I've had several of you stop me and ask me if that means you walk from 1 to 4. The answer to that is no, please, unless you just like it. It is literally as much time as you want to spend going stop to stop, but it is a floating event, so come as you will and leave as you will. We're parking at the school for two reasons. To start, they are praying for those students, but the second reason is I don't want people parking while we're walking for safety. And one last thing that really matters is if you're unable to walk, please don't think that I'm excluding you. We will have golf carts. So it's a prayer walk or ride. So if you do not have the ability to walk it, you can be driven around and still do the prayer stops just the same.
Thank you. There are several other announcements. A grief recovery group we're going to be trying to start here in our church, also a CPR class. And I hope you'll note that movie night next Sunday. If you haven't seen War Room, or if you have seen War Room, you want to come be a part of that. It is a powerful movie. We're going to have some dialogue after that movie. I hope you'll plan to come and be a part at 6:30 in our fellowship hall. Read the announcements and be involved where you need to be. Thank you again for being here. And by the way, we will have Sunday school next Sunday, okay? And there's still room for 200. We could do that. Wouldn't that be neat if next Sunday, without a goal, God's people just showed up and filled every Sunday school class? I like it. And you can't say anything contrary to that, can you? Okay. I got you. All right. Now, we're about to leave. Don't wait for May the 21st to start praying. Don't wait for services for revival. For as we leave this place, we do so in God's peace. And in his power, and in his abiding presence. And we are his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from here. You'll put people in our path. You'll put opportunities in our path to love you, to be obedient, to
to be people of integrity, to be people of uprightness and righteousness and justice. Challenge us through the Conqueror, our Redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might do so. In His name we pray. Amen.